Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. And yes, we are back here on The Punch Out, 27th of July, 2022. Very happy to be back with you here on the show. And we've got plenty for you here on the show. Today, we want to continue the conversations we've been having here on The Punch Out about what's going on with inflation and why the two major political parties have zero program to actually address the issue, at least in a way that actually helps working class people. Sometime in the near future, it seems the logjam will be broken and Democrats will pass a party-line budget bill that almost completely scraps their entire agenda. The much slimmed-down proposal is still being tipped as a, quote, major victory by some elements in the mainstream media, a framing that offers Democrats a boost going into fall elections where their inability to deliver substantively on many promises or tackle inflation has been limiting their prospects. Republicans have been content to just ride out the Democratic troubles in hopes it delivers them at least one House of Congress for the next 2 years. But they themselves are also not presenting any real economic program for workers, certainly not one that addresses inflation or any other critical economic challenges facing the working class. In fact, to the extent the Republicans are commenting, it's to promote policies that will absolutely make the situation worse for the average person just trying to make ends meet. And this is important because when you look at all of the polling, the vast majority of people say inflation and the economy are, in fact, the most important issues for them, and that they are very concerned that inflation will get worse and the economy also will get worse. So we're about halfway through the year here, and it seems based on both the political and economic situation in the country, the working class and poor of the United States are facing an almost guaranteed decline in living standards and continued political gridlock and inaction on crucial issues. This is being done by design, not by accident. And the reason isn't just stupidity or ignorance, but ideological choices. Choosing to believe a not very fact-based explanation for the causes of inflation in order to avoid enacting policies that could actually address inflation and improve the economy, but that would mean far less profits for the mega corporations and the ultra-rich 1%, but a better life for the average working and poor person in the United States. To understand the totally inadequate political responses coming from the so-called political leadership in the country, we have to first debunk the key myth surrounding why inflation is happening right now. The conventional wisdom being presented by commentators across the political spectrum, most notably by the Republicans and major Democratic Party economist Larry Summers, is that the COVID relief measures promoted and passed almost exclusively by Democrats in 2021 fueled inflation by giving people too much money. Now, that might sound strange to you and I, because anyone who actually needs to work or access public assistance to survive knows that those were, in fact, relief measures that helped ease serious burdens, not some handout that was making everyone rich and had people just hanging out at home living high off the hog. Nonetheless, these various commentators claim that average people were just doing too well, just had too much money. When we all went out to spend it, the economy couldn't supply enough goods since there was now more demand than supply. And that, of course, started driving prices up. So basically, inflation is happening because people got helped during the COVID-19 crisis. That's what the conventional wisdom is. And this is why the Federal Reserve, backed by both major political parties, is now rapidly increasing interest rates, despite the fact that this blunt force instrument is likely to cause a recession. They're okay with causing a recession because ultimately, if the sickness is that working people are doing too well, well, the cure must be to make sure they aren't doing too great at all. Basically, when you increase interest rates, you increase the cost of borrowing. Since a lot of the modern economy runs on credit, that means you're putting the brakes on new economic growth and making sure that companies that owe more than they can really pay either just collapse or have to drastically make cuts. So overall, banks are less likely to lend, businesses less likely to take risks, and consumers less likely to make purchases they don't feel are absolutely necessary. That brings down inflation because companies need to make sure they don't lose market share if things are considered too expensive in a period where other companies and consumers who patronize them have less and are more discerning with their purchases. It also means more unemployment as businesses fail or make cuts. It also means lower wages as more competition over fewer jobs becomes a factor and companies seek to pare down pay and benefits to keep their profit as high as possible in a declining economy. So it might stop inflation, but it's going to do it by sacrificing workers' livelihoods. Now, the problem here is that this whole prescription of why inflation is happening is wrong, and thus the so-called cure isn't really going to help, or at least not in a way that isn't more destructive than helpful. As it concerns the issue of too much spending being the cause of the inflationary spike, well, the evidence for that is very weak. There are a range of points relevant to this, but here are a couple major ones. First, inflation has increased all across the globe, but inflation has not accelerated more quickly in countries with greater public sector spending. France, for instance, which famously spends more on social and public services than the United States, saw inflation grow slower than the United States. Larry Summers and the Republicans and others have also been making a very particular case as it concerns this issue of demand outstripping what the economy could actually produce. But that can, however, be measured. One way is by looking at something called the output gap. And that measures the difference between actual GDP growth and potential GDP growth, or in other words, the maximum the economy could produce hypothetically. If actual GDP is less than the potential GDP, the hypothetical maximum, then demand is not outstripping what the economy can produce. And, crucially, during the months in 2021 when inflation really took off, actual GDP was in fact lower than potential GDP. So, by that measure at least, clearly, increased government spending on COVID relief did not spark inflation. And finally, on this point, one analysis of the impact of COVID relief spending in 2021 on inflation noted that, at most, the COVID relief plan added 1 to 2% to inflation. Given that inflation has increased about 9% year on year as of last month, clearly, COVID relief spending is, at best, a small fraction of the increase in inflation. That same analysis noted, however, that some major inflationary pressures are unique and outside of some of these other broad trends. For instance, car sales, until about June, actually, were one of the biggest drivers of inflationary pressures. But a big reason for that was a fire at an advanced chip factory in Japan, plus long-term supply chain issues, not demand. This analysis noted that the increase in inflation for auto sales also contributed about 1 to 2%. So if you don't have that fire in Japan, the COVID relief package may have essentially contributed nothing to inflation. So, again, just to underline where we are here, the mainstream explanation for inflation, COVID relief spending, is just not correct. So before we can turn to the so-called solutions being promoted by Congress, the White House, and Wall Street, just dressed up as the Federal Reserve, we have to answer quickly the other question here, which is, well, what is causing inflation? In short, corporate profiteering and COVID-19. As we pointed out to you many times on this show, and as detailed by a study from the Economic Policy Institute, profits are making up a substantial amount of inflation. The analysis basically boils down to this. For every dollar of inflation, about 54 cents goes to corporate profits, 38 cents to supply chain issues, and 8 cents to wages. Bottom line here is, corporations are increasing prices far above cost increases in order to pump up their profit margins to record high levels, literally hundreds of billions of dollars more each quarter when compared to the same quarter in 2019. One example of how this is happening here is Tyson Foods. In their most recent earnings report for the second quarter of this fiscal year, they are going on and on about the increased cost they are facing due to supply chain issues and wages and all of that. Sounds very woe is me. But, and this is a big but, after noting that they did indeed increase prices, Tyson lays out how, despite how difficult it all was for them, that their profit increased 106% in the first 6 months of this year compared to the first 6 months of last year. So clearly you can see the increased cost did not in fact drag on profits, and the increased prices clearly are a key reason they did not. It is true, however, that increased costs mostly related to various supply chain issues did happen, and they are mainly the result of things that happened based on the COVID-19 pandemic. Here it is. When the economy shut down at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a big shift in how people consume things. Think buying a Peloton instead of going to the gym. This created snarls in supply chains as manufacturers struggled to manage this changeover amid periods of reduced production capacity due to workers getting COVID and the already very weak supply chains. And now, as the economy is reopening, some of these trends are changing or being reversed, plus COVID is still a factor in worker availability, so that creates more churn and supply chain type issues. It's important to add that supply chains are so weak because corporations deliberately hollowed them out, squeezing the most out of the least to keep their profits higher. And also, the U.S. failed to invest in critical infrastructure for years, meaning ports, rails, roads were already struggling to keep up with economic growth, and the COVID shock didn't help. And the reason that investment didn't happen? Well, corporate lobbying against tax increases. So, just another way of saying more corporate greed. So, you combine corporate profiteering with COVID-19, and you get the type of inflationary spike that we've seen over the past number of months. This also means, however, that the blunt force instrument of interest rate hikes to create a recession to curb inflation is not needed. And in fact, a more targeted approach would be better, because it would not actually cause a recession. And this is where we can now turn to how Congress and the White House are totally failing the working class. So based on what we just laid out, to address inflation, you'd need to address corporate profiteering, issues around how the COVID-19 pandemic affected the economy, and other long-term supply chain issues. And in all these categories, nothing is really happening from the political arena. As it concerns corporate price gouging, well, the easiest way to address that would be to raise taxes on the corporations and individuals doing so well by basically robbing us all blind. It's pretty straightforward. If company A says, well, my costs increase 9%, but I'm going to increase prices 18% so that my profits stay real high, maybe higher than they've ever been, well, if I now know that I'm going to lose a significant chunk of that to taxes, company A very well might only increase prices 11%. So you can see how that would start to reduce inflation. However, neither party is proposing any of this. Democrats, while talking a lot about raising taxes, it seems are prepared to move forward with a budget that has no tax increases at all. Republicans are, amazingly, proposing tax cuts, which of course only increases the incentive to keep prices as high as you can, as long as you can, to reap the ultra-high profits while you still can. So clearly, this will not decrease inflation. Yet, literally, it is the number one solution to inflation promoted by every faction of the Republican Party in Congress right now. As for supply chain issues, well, nothing doing there either. For starters, the so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill was supposed to address a bunch of these sort of infrastructure-based supply chain issues, like, say, port congestion. But when you look at the reality, you can see what's being proposed isn't really meeting the moment. Just to stick with this issue of port congestion, the bipartisan bill touts $17 billion in investment over 10 years, when estimates from experts show there are at least $44 billion needed over the next 10 years in investments to cover the cost of needed repairs, expansions, and modernizations to clear up the snarl at U.S. ports. So again, both major parties failing to deliver a real solution. And the same can also be said, by the way, about legacy supply chain issues related to profiteering. Many corporations are deliberately keeping supply chains weak. They're making sure that there's no inventory on hand in case you need more in a crisis. They don't want to have any contingency planning because it reduces profits to pay for anything that might not be used right away or at all or for many years. Even if it means when there's a crisis, that could lead to big inflationary price spikes. But why would they care? Because they can just increase prices and make more profits. And despite all the talk from the White House, various progressive Democrats and, you know, so-called MAGA Republicans about how they want to take on monopoly and the hollowing out of supply chains and this, that, and the third, there isn't one proposal with any likelihood to pass at all that addresses any of these legacy supply chain issues based on corporate profiteering in any substantive way. And as for issues around how COVID-19 affected the economy, well, we'd be here all day getting into all of that, but the reality is, it's the same basic situation. For instance, if one was worried about demand outstripping supply like all of our inflation hawks, you'd want to increase productive capacity. One way to do that is to expand the workforce. Well, one key way to do that is to make it easier for more women to enter into the workforce. You could do that by creating a child tax credit, subsidizing child care to a greater degree, and establishing strong paid family leave policies. Something Democrats promised to do, but failed to deliver, and that Republicans outright oppose. In fact, the main Republican child tax credit plan right now, promoted by Senator Mitt Romney, is so bad that, as the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities points out, quote, about 7 million families making less than $50,000 with about 10 million children would end up worse off under the Romney plan than under current law, with the typical loss exceeding $800 per family. The main Republican proposal on paid family leave right now, coming from Senator Marco Rubio, actually requires people opting to take paid family leave to accept cuts to their Social Security benefits that would in some cases exceed their parental leave benefits. There's more to say about all this. I think you see the general point. When you look at the actual causes of the inflationary spike we're in, both major political parties are AWOL in terms of actually pursuing changes that could address the issue without throwing the economy into a downward spiral. So the real question is, why is that? I mean, aren't they there to help us? That's what they say. Well, it comes down to this. If inflation is tackled by creating a recession, the main burden is on workers who have to endure wage and benefit cuts and unemployment. If you address inflation by addressing profiteering and other issues revealed by COVID-19, the burden is more on capitalists because that would require tax increases that they don't want to pay. They just want to have a heated Olympic pool, not just a regular one. So the consensus from the political class in the United States is, okay, hey, fine. If the ultra-rich corporations and people who made just over $2 trillion in profits in the first quarter of 2022 alone don't want to contribute anything more, well, hey, they won't have to. And instead, they'll just make workers pay for the cost of reducing inflation, which means not only bearing the cost of price gouging, but also of the supply chain issues that were caused by corporate CEOs and COVID-19, not the working class. So the consensus from the political class in the U.S. is, okay, hey, fine. If the ultra-rich corporations who made just over $2 trillion in profits in the first quarter of 2022 alone don't want to contribute anything more, well, then they won't. And instead, workers will be made to bear the brunt of reducing inflation, which, by the way, means not only bearing the cost of the price gouging that is causing a lot of this inflation, but also of the supply chain issues that were caused by corporate CEOs and their greed in COVID-19 and not the working class that's bearing the burden on their shoulders. But that's the reality of politics in the U.S. right now. Workers need a lifeline thrown to them, but instead the government's just throwing them a cinder block and they're being left to drown as the mega yachts of the ultra rich sail around them. That's the punch out for today. We're with you Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here in New York, East Coast Standard Time, 2 p.m. in Los Angeles, Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. GMT. And of course, you can support everything we do here at Breakthrough News at patreon.com/breakthroughnews. It's your patronage that keeps all of our offerings here at Breakthrough News moving forward. And of course, you can check us out across all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at BT Newsroom.